First drops of rain in Bangalore, and
the city, slept through it.
I slept through it, but yeah, the city seems to be excited. I mean, I see a lot of positivity, radiance outside, and I've decided to start a new tradition here on the Startup Operator Roundup.
Which is?
Namaskar, dosto. Main hoon Roshan Karyappa. Aaj hum startup ki charcha karenge. Mere saath hai Gunjan Saha. Gunjan, aaj kis cheez pe baat karenge?
So do I continue in the
group? Hey, your call, man.
No, I think I'll stick to English, right? Otherwise, I'm pretty sure we'll be losing a lot many subscribers.
जो आपको जो आपके मन की इच्छा है
मन की बात ओके सो लॉट हैपेंड इन द पास्ट 7 days आई थिंक द बिगेस्ट हाईलाइट ऑफ इट ऑल वॉज दैट द इंडियन गवर्नमेंट अनाउंस प्लान्स टू पार्टनर विद एनवीडिया टू डायरेक्टली सोर्स हाई एंड जीपीयूज विच आर केपेबल फॉर रनिंग एआई एंड वॉट द गवर्नमेंट विल बी डूइंग इज विल बी रेंटिंग आउट दिस कंप्यूट पावर टू स्टार्टअप्स रिसर्च अकेडमिया I think that's a brilliant move and we'll be diving deeper into
Fantastic
it.
Fantastic stuff.
Along with that, Upekha.
I mean like Shandar. Okay.
Along with that, Upekha, along with Westbridge Capital, they published the Indian SaaS report. It gives a brilliant outline of what the AI outlay in India looks like. What are the various domains in which startups are building? What are the domains in which VCs are taking on interest to invest? So we'll dive a bit deeper into that.
तो किस चीज में निवेश कर रहे
हैं इसके बाद
ओके
इसके बाद वी विल बी टॉकिंग अबाउट फ्लिपकार्ट फ्लिपकार्ट हैड अपेरेंटली मेड अ एन ऑफर टू ज़ेप्टो टू बाय द क्विक कॉमर्स प्लेटफॉर्म फॉर $2 billion बट गेस व्हाट यू नो कनिंग स्मार्ट स्टार्टअप्स डू दे यूज दैट ऑफर टू गो बैक इन द मार्केट एंड रेज एट अ हाई वैल्यूएशन
डैम
And another cool thing that is happening in the
country. I'm completely stunned the producer actually. He can't believe what the hell is happening.
So we should just pan the camera a bit.
But yeah, let's jari rahega. Shuru karo, Mitra.
And lastly, various charging network operators and energy players are, you know, working together to build a UPI-like platform for EV users to help facilitate, you know, power exchange and facilitate, you know, charging. So this took some time for me to understand, but it's really fascinating.
मैं समझा सकता हूँ. मैं एक platform के साथ काम किया हूँ बहुत साल पहले.
Oh wow.
तो आपको मैं ये चीज समझा सकता हूँ.
Crazy.
दोहराइए.
And last but not the least, this has been a bumper week for startups in the fundraise space. Nice. I think this was the week with the highest amount of venture capital raised in 2024. So with that, शुरू करते हैं. इस हफ्ते का राउंड अप
इलेक्शन कार्ड बनवाया गुंजन
इलेक्शन कार्ड बनवाया
बहुत सही जवाब दिया आपने तो इंडिया के इलेक्शन शुरू हो गया है कल से कुछ 55-60% वोटर टर्नआउट है थोड़ा और बढ़ सकता है शायद
कश्मीर में थोड़ा कम है
कम है पता नहीं अभी अभी तो वेस्ट बंगाल तमिलनाडु कहीं और शुरू हुआ है
इलेक्शन व्हेन इज आवर वोटिंग
हमारा 26 का है
26 अप्रैल
ही है ना तो 26 अप्रैल में है आप सब लोग जाके वोट कीजिए दिस इज द डांस ऑफ डेमोक्रेसी वो उसका ट्रांसलेशन मुझे पता नहीं है बट भावनाओं को समझिए आप
लोकतंत्र का नाच
I think I'm going to get killed, dude. So, anyway, बहुत अच्छी चीज़ है. Elections are very important. Happens once in 5 years. So, absolutely no excuse not to go out and vote.
Elections don't really happen once in 5 years.
Well, I mean, the central elections at least.
But now, one India, one election.
जिसका बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है, वो चीज़ का बात कर रहा हूँ.
Guys, please like this video. Share this video just so that Roshan is motivated to learn Hindi.
हर वीडियो में हमारे मित्र बोलते हैं कमेंट्स में कि हमें हिंदी में बनाना है क्योंकि हिंदी क्या भारत में हिंदी ही चलता है तो मैं कोशिश कर रहा हूँ तो आशीष भाई जिसने बोला था आपके लिए है ये और दो तीन भी है उनका नाम भूल गया बट सभी के लिए हिंदी में प्रवेशक आज
चलिए शुरू करते हैं वन ऑफ द हॉट टॉपिक्स दिस entire year and even the last year is the fact that, you know, startups are running behind this gold mine called generative AI. When Sam Altman visited India, you know, he made this comment that India is leagues behind where AI stands today. And it is even futile to for startups or even big companies to invest in AI to catch up to the capabilities that OpenAI or the Metas and the Alphabets have. And it was really impossible until the government decided that, hey, they are going to step in. They are going to help startups in the country and the research and the academia get up to speed. So the government is considering a 10,000 crore deal with NVIDIA to acquire high-end AI chips, especially H100 and Blackwell AI chips for research and startups. The Union Cabinet has approved around 10,000 crore for India's AI mission, aiming to deploy 10,000 GPUs via public-private partnerships. Now, how this model is going to work is through a rent and sublet model. This will include a lot of concessions to startups and researchers, and a marketplace model, which will work similar to the PLI schemes that we have seen in the automotive, EV, and solar sectors. These incentives will be based on the incremental productivity gain that these companies will achieve. Now, just for comparison, we all know GPUs are essential for AI, with basic data center needing close to 100 to 300 units. OpenAI used 720,000 H100 GPUs for its AI video generator Sora. And India's supercomputer Era, just for comparison, has about 640 GPUs. So there's a considerable gap that needs to be covered. The question lies at whether this initiative by the government will be enough.
ये बहुत महत्वपूर्ण चीज है. तो 10,000 करोड़ कुछ 1.2 बिलियन के आसपास है और बड़ी कंपनियां जैसे गूगल या मेटा इससे 30 या 40 गुना और स्पेंड किया है. पर ये एक बहुत इम्पॉर्टेंट फर्स्ट स्टेप है हमारे लिए, क्योंकि वी आर लिविंग इन द एज ऑफ एआई, राइट? एंड इन्वेस्टमेंट्स ऑन द एआई फ्रंट आर एब्सोल्युटली नेसेसरी फॉर अस टू मेंटेन दैट कॉम्पिटिटिवनेस, राइट? सो कैन वी वेट फॉर द लाइक्स ऑफ रिलायंस, अडानी, whoever else to the Tatas and so on and so forth to kind of invest in all of this stuff? Maybe not, right? I mean, so this is also very good signaling as well, signaling to the larger ecosystem that we have to ramp on investments here. So 10,000 crores is a small amount, right? Relatively, but it's a very big, big milestone, I would say, right? I saw someone on Twitter, sorry, I gave up on Hindi, guys, but I'm really, really sure about this. मैं ठीक से पढ़ के एक पूरा राउंड अप हिंदी में करूँगा, ये मेरी आश्वासन है. ठीक है, promise, right? Guarantee.
वादा है.
Assurance. वादा है. ये मेरी वादा है. पर इस राउंड अप के लिए मैं कुछ 20% हिंदी में बात करूंगा और 80% इंग्लिश में बात करूंगा. आशीष भाई, माफ कर देना प्लीज. ओके, सो इट्स अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट स्टेप, बिकॉज आई सॉ समवन ऑन ट्विटर से, यू नो, वी शुड इन्वेस्ट 30 और 40 बिलियन डॉलर्स बिकॉज वी आर लाइक गोइंग टू बी द थर्ड लार्जेस्ट इकोनॉमी इन द वर्ल्ड एंड यू नो हाउ इज 1 बिलियन इनफ. Yeah, well, 1 billion is not enough, right? But try to understand the, you know, the budgets and the perspectives, yeah. Right? $40 billion would be like, I think maybe like about 40% of our education budget for the year, right? So you're not going to move that kind of money on day one of anything, right? Whatever that is, right? So I think being directionally right is very important. And this can iterate and compound. And, you know, pretty soon we will probably bridge that gap, right? You know, NVIDIA has cornered maybe like 80 or 90% of the total, you know, share of these GPUs and so on, right? So it's good that we're tying up with them. And yeah, I mean, you know, we just published this episode with Visual Dub on Neural Garage, which is a broader company, right? We had the founder Shubho talk about, you know, the various possibilities with GenAI and so on. There are, you know, hundreds of other GenAI startups that will need this kind of infrastructure, right? And what the government is doing is, you know, very smartly, like sort of renting this out, renting and leasing this out. So yeah, not just from an academic perspective, I think even from a very practical perspective, you know, having these infrastructure services will greatly benefit startups and the larger ecosystem.
Yeah. Also, I think it's only a matter of time at which, you know, OpenAI will start shifting its focus on India, right? Because India will be the largest marketplace for them.
Largest developer market, at least. And of course, I mean, we have a ton of data as well, which I'm sure we should use as leverage. See, the data aspect as well is very important, right? Because, you know, if you are bringing in data protection bill and whatnot and saying that data cannot leave India, right? At the same time, you don't have the, you know, infrastructure capability to process this data, right? It puts you in a very difficult situation, right? Which is also why I think these infrastructure investments here are helpful even from a sovereignty perspective, right? So very important. And speaking of investing in AI, in India, OpenAI has just made its first hire in India. Pragya Mishra, who joins them as perhaps head of policy, right? She's been with WhatsApp and Truecaller earlier. So yeah, has had a stellar career. So hopefully they're hiring marketing folks as well.
Huh? OpenAI, if you're listening, reach out to us. You have a fantastic job board.
Yeah. And we're
marketers too.
Marketers just as well. Case, yeah. Just FYI.
Okay, continuing with AI. Upeka and Westbridge Capital released the India SaaS report. We did a quick glance through and there's some really interesting points as to how AI is shaping up in the country. If you want to take a look at the report, you'll find the link in the description. Please do go through it. Let us know in the comments what are your takes on some of the key findings it has. What really stood out for me is, you know, was on the introductory note. It starts off by saying that unlike the Silicon Valley, India as a startup ecosystem has not seen many tech disruptions. By tech disruptions, what I mean is that we have definitely seen a lot of innovation, but that innovation has been on the application side of things, on the use case side of things. Nothing big on the fundamental layer powering these applications. Whereas Silicon Valley, on the other hand, has seen the dot-com bubble burst. Sorry, the dot-com revolution. It has seen the crypto revolution. And now most recently, it is seeing generative AI. These are fundamental changes that are happening in tech. And if you compare that to India, India has not seen such disruptions the first time. So with this, the way AI will shape up in India is like Heisenberg's?
What is that?
Schrodinger's box. You don't know. I'll say that again.
Big words.
So AI in India is like a black box. You know, you don't know what to expect inside, like once the box opens up. So what do you think? Like,
you said something about Shraw something. What was that?
What did I say?
Schrodinger's cat. Huh? Schrodinger's you don't know. Box. It could be simultaneously dead or alive, basically.
Well, I think AI in India is pretty much alive.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway, look, I have a point of disagreement here, right? I mean, this is a common sentiment that a lot of people seem to have that fundamental innovation in technology hasn't come out of India. Yes, that is true. I mean, nothing to doubt about that, right? I mean, but to compare India and the Silicon Valley, right? I mean, it's a bit absurd if you ask me, because you look at the per capita income, right? I mean, we're at about $2,500 per capita, right? And, you know, Silicon Valley or let's say the US is about 70 grand per capita. China itself may be like around 25,000-30,000 per capita. Now, these are not apples to apples comparison, right? Obviously, I mean, there's going to be an innovation curve, and you're not going to come up with like mind-blowing fundamental innovation as such, right? And obviously, Silicon Valley has had like, you know, a precedence since the 1960s, right? But I'm hopeful, I'm really optimistic that the next level of innovation has already started here, right? I mean, we have the world's best payment system in the world, you know, ever, right? UPI. That happened here, right? And definitely others can adopt that. I mean, certainly UPI itself is internationalizing, right? And similarly, you know, I think if the point is that AI could be that next frontier or the next barrier for us, I take that, right? I mean, maybe the next computing innovation, whatever it is, might or can come out of India, right? Maybe 5 or 10 years down the line, right? Maybe even more, I don't know, right? Because, and that was Sam's point as well when he was here, that, look, we already have a leg up on you guys. So why do you want to build anything like a fundamental LLM or whatever, right? I mean, build applications on that, which is also fair. I mean, it takes innovation to build applications as well, right? Not that they're, you know, a piece of cake or anything. So, yeah, fundamental innovation will happen, right, as our economy rises, as more people start gaining access to some of this infrastructure and whatnot. I'm very confident of that. I mean, if you look at like Silicon Valley CEOs itself, 40-50% of them are Indians, right? NASA has like another 40-50% of Indians itself. Maybe, I mean, I'm underquoting the numbers here, but it's all Indians who have gone there and who've done that, right? So give them access to resources, as will happen in the next 5 or 10 years. And I'm sure that we'll invent the future for sure, right? Mm-hmm. So, but beyond all of that, right? I mean, I'm actually excited for how AI will sort of disrupt SaaS, you know? One thing is, I don't know if SaaS will continue to have the sort of, you know, pricing that it has, right? It was definitely a pricing innovation when compared to on-prem software, right? Yeah. Where you paid a huge amount upfront and, you know, every damn change, I mean, you had to upgrade and so on, right? Certainly a pricing innovation beyond that. But now, in the era of AI where, you know, hopefully we can ship production-ready code and hopefully everything is modular and hopefully everything can be, like, really built in-house, I think SaaS has to reinvent its pricing again, right? Whatever that is. I mean, I don't know if it will be a per user per month model anymore, right?
No, there was some news, I think, late last year around October, November, where Google was, it's not Google, sorry, Adobe, and even Google, I think, was trying this pricing for per compute power, which is depending on what kind of instruction you're trying to run. The compute power required for it, your credits are reduced pro rata.
Yeah, I mean, the people have tried it before, right? But what I'm saying is there needs to be a fundamental relook of that, right? Because the numbers don't seem to make sense now, right? Who's that? Chamath itself had floated this idea of 80-90, right? Where he'll build, I think, 80% of everything you need at 90% less than the cost that you're paying, right? Now, I don't know if it'll pan out really, and I never think that enterprises, you know, will really be okay with 80% of what they need, right? Heck, I mean, they won't be okay with even 99% of what they need, right? That's just the way they operate. But in any case, right, I mean, I think the tea leaves are there for you to see, right? I mean, the future is that SaaS is going to get disrupted, and better disrupt yourself rather than, you know, wait for something to, you know, eventually happen, right? So this is a very nice report. And I'm also like, I'm really, really proud that, you know, startups and, you know, accelerators are coming up with such reports, right? I mean, the stuff that usually was reserved for like consulting companies and, you know, the likes of McKinsey, BCG, Accenture and so on. You know, my friend Rohit, who works in Bloom, right? I mean, shout out to him, by the way, fantastic content producer and fantastic marketer himself, right? Rohit Kaul, he made this point that you know, I mean, I'm again, he was very glad that startups are producing these kind of reports, right? He was making the point about Plum's report on the state of employee benefits, for instance, right? And at Vimo, we have produced reports on millennials joining the insurance industry and so on.
How is AI disrupting
BFSI? Yeah. So amazing stuff. Yeah, very interesting report. You guys have to definitely check it out.
So generative AI, you know, there's a lot of talk, like even we heard about this in Opeka annual event. And also Jake Saper of Emergence had published a blog on this. He says that generative AI is very well suited to disrupt the services space. Typically, there are two types of services firms that are hired to do a job that the client does not want to do, and a services firm which offer expertise to clients. Now, I don't think any large company with deep pockets will pay a robot for advisory. But generative AI will very much disrupt the space to do the job that a client will not want to do. For example, IT implementation or cloud migration projects, financial audits, or even outsourced customer support. I think this space is where we'll be seeing the most relevant disruption for generative AI.
Yeah, look, the numbers don't lie. Look at Accenture, right? They're doing $1 billion a quarter on Gen AI, actually generating $3-4 billion a year, right? This is at a time when, you know, people are, you know, product startups are yet to earn a single dollar, you know, doing any meaningful work on this stuff, right? or rather not earning significant stuff. Let me not exaggerate. But yeah, I mean, it's a very compelling thesis, I should say, right? And, you know, my friend Sidhu Punappa, who was earlier with Gojek, right, a fantastic, you know, tech guy. I mean, we've had him on the podcast earlier, right? I mean, he has started realfast.ai, right? Which does the same thing. I mean, they're disrupting entire Salesforce implementation / consulting ecosystem, right? And yeah, the promise is the same, man plus machine equal to cheaper, faster, better, you know? So yeah, it definitely holds water for sure.
For our next segment, let's turn our focus onto quick commerce space. Zepto is considering selling a majority stake to Flipkart, but the talks did not progress due to disagreements in the valuation numbers. It seems that Flipkart wanted to acquire Zepto at a valuation which was below $2 billion. Zepto, however, expected a bigger price tag, which was at least above $3 billion, because Zepto was valued at $1.4 billion last year. Earlier in February, Flipkart had also been in discussions about potentially acquiring Dunzo, but the complex ownership structure and plus the shareholding patterns of Reliance Retail's stance had posed a lot of challenges. I think it is about time that we start seeing consolidation in the quick commerce space, but one thing that really confuses me is that the margins are so low, the volumes are also not really increasing that much. What is the winning here in the quick commerce space? I mean, earlier we were joking about, you know, we should be funding these companies ourselves just so that we have the convenience.
Yeah, if only. Yeah. The consolidation has already happened, right? I mean, of all of the quick commerce players, I mean, you're only seeing three primarily right now. Zepto, Blinkit, and Big Basket. And BB Instant also, I don't know if it's that big a hit, right? So, the way I look at it, I think, you know, perhaps, I mean, an addition of users, perhaps, you know, increasing the top line, right? Perhaps increasing brand, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, beyond this, I mean, it seems a little flaky, right? Even the whole brand thing also is kind of flaky, right? Because who has a bigger brand today, Zepto or Flipkart? It's debatable, right? I mean, among urban Indian youth like Gunjan, Zepto may have the upper hand, but, you know, among Desi, older folks, you know, Flipkart may have the upper hand, right? So, I don't know. I want to say Desi upper folks like, I mean, Desi older folks like myself, but yeah, anyway, you guys get the point. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, right? And for Flipkart, I mean, it could be that whole thing of what next, you know, after the whole Walmart acquisition and everything, what next, you know, at some point they're going to hit the ceiling in terms of number of e-commerce buyers. They're going to hit the ceiling in terms of number of products they can sell through conventional e-commerce, right? So they have to figure what next, and this is an entirely new domain for them to kind of increase their TAM, right? So that could be it, right? And rather than, you know, start this all by themselves, they were kind of thinking of kind of scooping it up, right? And look, I mean, now's not a great time, now's not a bad time for acquisitions, right? Because the valuations are down to more reasonable numbers right now, right? So I think they tried their hand, but you got to hand it to the Zepto guys, man. I mean, these guys, by the way, I mean, they're always forever 19, right? They've not aged a year since they were first reported in the media. But yeah, you got to hand it to them. I mean, they got balls of steel, right? I mean, imagine being, I don't know, I'm trying to calculate how old the guy is, 21, right? 21 maybe, right? And being handled like $1 billion acquisition offer and saying, no, I mean, I'm worth a billion more. That's insane. The kind of conviction that these folks have, right? I mean, young people in general, I think, are amazing, right? I mean, even people, I think people of my generation, at least, I mean, we still had their survivalist mindset, right? I graduated when, you know, Lehman Brothers crashed, right? And it was the GFC, basically, global financial crisis and whatnot. We were happy to get jobs, any jobs that paid us anything and whatnot. But the mindset shift right now is phenomenal. And which is why I feel like the kind of companies that we will build also, right, is going to be next level, man. I mean, they're not limited by these kind of things, right? I mean, their ambition, the sky is the limit. So, yeah, I mean, good luck to the Zepto guys, man. I mean, they should go all the way and build a $10, $20 billion company.
But question is how.
Hoga yaar, I mean, I don't know. Look, I mean, I am not certainly educated enough in this entire scheme and game to understand, you know, how this company will make it to that level while losing, you know, money, right? I mean, they seem to be bringing down their losses progressively, right? And maybe, you know, some genius has modeled out this thing that, you know, at a certain level, they are break even or even, you know, somewhat profitable, right? Maybe there is that case, right? Maybe, I mean, AI will help them do something, you know, order of magnitude cheaper, faster, better, right? Maybe that. Look, I mean, you have examples of companies that have, you know, gone to a certain scale and achieved profitability, right? I mean, Amazon, Walmart. Okay, maybe, right? Retail, I mean, the margins are what they are, right? I mean, you do achieve a certain, you achieve profitability at a certain scale, for sure. So maybe that, right? Maybe that. So who knows?
Changing gears, no pun intended. A group of charging network operators and energy companies have collaborated to create a common transaction network for electric vehicle users. The platform, called the Unified Energy Interface, or UEI.
It's cool, man.
Yeah, I thought I would pronounce it as UPI, but no. UEI aims to streamline payment processes and enhance transaction compatibility across EV charging networks. The UEI will be linked to the UPI, allowing customers to make transactions at any charging point of a member company. This P2P transaction system is expected to promote green energy usage in EVs by providing a secure and convenient payment options. What exactly is this UEI, which is called the UPI moment for EVs?
I think, see, it's a fundamental innovation, right? And it's fantastic that, you know, like in the case of NPCI, you have a few folks from the EV sector coming together and trying to accelerate building this infrastructure, right? EV infrastructure and platform. Because I think, you know, just having that UPI platform and infrastructure has helped payments a great deal. And I think it'll help improve EV adoption the similar way, right? So one thing that I could think of was that I worked with a platform company about 12, 13 years ago, right? They were a power trading platform. And how it worked is, I mean, you had power suppliers and power consumers, and people could put excess power on a grid and sort of exchange, right, and trade. Now, that platform itself, right, had, you know, so many efficiencies in terms of streamlining buying and selling, right? Now, I see some similar, you know, kind of things with the EV ecosystem, the EV infrastructure as well through this UEI platform, right? If people can plug and play, if people can sort of charge, you know, their batteries, maybe, you know, swap batteries, etc., through a common infrastructure, it's going to help, you know, it's going to help everyone involved in the ecosystem for sure, right? Because I think right now, the biggest variable is this entire infrastructure, right? Because you could build the best EV bike, you could build the most advanced battery. You could build, again, a very innovative accessory and whatnot. You could have a fantastic fleet. But what is the biggest variable? The biggest variable is this infrastructure, right? That if I go 300 or 400 kilometers away, do I have enough support, right? Do I have enough resources to be able to run my stuff? Now, that, I think, you know, while the government has ramped up on this sort of infrastructure and is also focused on creating more, I think private entities coming together to solve it will be interesting, right? And UPI has, you know, set such an amazing precedence that, you know, hopefully UEI will sort of emulate that also.
But help me understand, why not just have a common standard for the connectors which connect your car and the power?
See, common standards take time to evolve, man. I mean, if you look at IoT, for instance, right? Now, you won't believe how big a thing IoT was, you know, 10 years back, 10 or 11 years back, right? I mean, I myself was on a panel talking about IoT at some point. I had no idea what it was, right? But I was talking about the potential use cases and so on. And the single biggest reason why it didn't catch up to the hype was because there were no common standards, right? And someone had to like build the entire stack. You're building the infrastructure, you're building the security, building the application level, everything, right? Whereas, I mean, if you're shipping an app right now, you're not worried about like, you know, running a data company. You're not worried about, you know, internet infrastructure or security, right? Those things are all, you're renting those things. You're not building those things right now. You're plugging and playing in this existing infrastructure, right? So you're only innovating at the application level, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like those kind of standards take time to evolve, right? And those kind of standards also require the broader industry to kind of come together and do it, right? Or, I mean, you know, if you have a breakaway success like Apple or Samsung in your space, they define the standards, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe Tesla defines the standards in this space, right? Maybe. So, yeah, hopefully, I mean, it'll come to a point where everyone adopts the same kind of, you know, plug and play sort of a...
No pun intended again. Okay. All right. Before we move on to the talk of the town section, here are some notable fundraisers of the week. Let me call out that the last 7 days has seen some of the most action in the venture capital space. Leading the pack is Parsons Nutritionals that raised around 700 crore rupees or $84 million from Lighthouse Funds, IFC, HDFC AMC's Fund of Funds and other family offices. Biofuel startup GPS Renewables raised $50 million in debt from Punjab National Bank, HDFC, Yes Bank, HSBC Bank, Kotak Mahindra, ICICI and others. Altum Credo, which is a digital housing finance company, raised around $40 million from Z3 Partners, Oiko Credit, British International Investment and others. Procmart, which is a B2B digital marketplace, raised around $30 million from Fundamentum Partnership and others. And agritech startup EcoZen raised $30 million from Nuveen Incred Credit Fund and U.S. International Development Finance Corporation. Well, looks like the rain was not the only good thing in Bangalore.
Yeah, a lot
of large check sizes. And we have a whole lot of other startups that raised funding in the week.
Yeah, pretty interesting. I mean, good to see like $30 million checks and so on, right? Yeah. I mean...
And also, yeah. A lot of the banks are now starting to invest in companies.
Yeah, for sure.
HDFC, ICICI, Yes Bank.
Yeah, both equity as well, right? And not just debt. So, yeah, pretty awesome.
Last week, we also celebrated World Artisan Day. And Rajesh Kumar, who is one of the chief officers at Flipkart, tweeted some photos of the Samarth initiative. Take a look at it. Roshan, these artisans, right, especially... the things we have seen in UP, the UP model of, you know, one district, one product that has been like such a big success. How do you think all of these can be implemented at a much more wider scale in the country?
Look, I think, you know, the long standing promise of e-commerce has been to take Indian products to the world, right? To a certain degree, I think we've enabled that for sure, right? The likes of Amazon, Flipkart, Meesho and the likes have sort of taken these products to a broader audience, right? And have made it lucrative for some of these folks who have been in this field for generations, right? Mm-hmm. Weavers and whatnot. And I feel like with ONDC, it'll perhaps extend even further, right? But yeah, I mean, we just need more of this, man. We just really, really need more of this such that anyone who is interested in pursuing what their forefathers did, have done for, you know, centuries, should not have to, you know, become an engineer or like a, you know, accountant or get a software gig or whatever else, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they should continue or they should find it lucrative enough to continue their craft if they so choose to, right? So, yeah, I mean, so anything that promotes that is a plus one in my books, right? So Flipkart has done this fabulously well. So kudos to the Flipkart team.
One of my favorite things to watch on YouTube nowadays is Business Insider's Why Is It So Expensive?
Mm.
Right, lately it has been featuring a lot of Indian products like Kala Namak, Kashmir, Kesar, and whatnot. And one of the reasons why is it so expensive is because one is, of course, the geographical, you know, encatchment of that product. For example, Kashmiri Kesar, you don't find it anywhere else. And even Kala Namak, right, for all its health benefits and stuff, you look at the video, it's not really produced in a hygienic manner. So imagine someone entering that space and using tech to disrupt it.
Mm.
I think there's so much of opportunity not only to improve the supply, but also to figure out distribution at a global scale.
True.
So yeah, I guess that's it for this week. Fun conversation with very little breaks in our recording.
The producer is rolling his eyes. You may find it at the back of his skull.
Hey, but good job, man. We talked a lot in Hindi. Yes.
बट ये चीज तो सच्चा है कि मैं हिंदी सीख के हिंदी में पूरा एपिसोड करूँगा भाइयों, और आप कमेंट लिखते रहना तो सो दैट इट सर्व्स एज एन इंस्पिरेशन, मुझे थोड़ा उत्साह मिले कि मैं हिंदी और जल्दी से सीखूं और आपको हिंदी में प्रवेशन करूं. दैट्स अप्रॉक्सीमेटली राइट. भावनाओं को समझो.
Alright guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Please like, share, subscribe, do all the good stuff. Let your friends know. Keep the comments coming in. Thanks so much for your feedback. We'll try to improve on the content that we're putting out based on what you are saying. We'll be back again with more exciting news next week. Take care. Khyal rakhiye. Dhyan rakhiye.
Shubh Ratri, Shubh Akhir.